You're listening to the Made in Frederick podcast with your host, Roger Wilson, where we talk real ideas with real people about moving Frederick forward.
Hello, everyone. My name is Roger Wilson. We're here once again with Made in Frederick. I am so excited to talk to Mr. Jason Keckler. Jason is a retired lieutenant from the Frederick Police Department. He started out his career in 1994, which seems like if I remember, that's a good wine year. We're just overjoyed to talk to Jason today because, you know, there's a lot going on in law enforcement, and he has a unique perspective. He grew up in Frederick and went on to become a police officer in the city of Frederick. And I'm just, again, overjoyed to talk with him. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Roger, and thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Yeah. So, Jason, just introduce yourself and tell us all about your growing up in Frederick, and what was your experience like, and what made you interested in joining the police department?
Sure. So my name's Jason Keckler. I lived in Amber Meadows growing up. My family originally lived in Montgomery County. We moved to the city of Frederick in 1976. I was 4 years old. And we moved into the Amber Meadows neighborhood when it was brand new. They were just building houses, and we had a townhouse there. One of three children, the youngest of three kids. And we had a great, great childhood growing up in Amber Meadows. It was a growing community. Frederick was growing. The population was mostly rural farmland, really, even in the city of Frederick. And then it started expanding. They started building a lot of houses. So I really got to know a lot of people living in a brand new neighborhood. And as I was growing up, I really got connected with the city through the city park system. And it really had a huge influence on my life and my future career. We used to go up to the Amber Meadows Park. I have fond memories being 8, 9, 10, all the way up to teenage years of going to the park, and they would bus us. They would send city buses to Amber Meadows Park, and they would take us down to the armory, and we'd interact with kids from all over the city, different parks, and we got to play sports and do different types of activities together. And just, it was such a unique way to spend your summers, because typically, like nowadays, kids spend a lot of time inside. We were outside all the time. We were the typical, as soon as the sun came up, we were outside, and we came home when the streetlights came on. And we really got a lot out of spending time outside and doing different things in the park system that the city of Frederick had. Really, really molded my childhood, because I got to see counselors who were not much older than me, teenagers who were leading these groups and activities and sporting events. And it really got me engaged in positive things. I was meeting positive role models. So instead of being left up to my own devices, I was staying occupied, doing good things, interacting with people from all over the city of Frederick. And it was the type of experience that really stayed with me. And my family ended up moving out to Walkersville, just north of the city, right before I started high school, when I finished my high school in Walkersville. But I maintained all those friendships that I had in Frederick. Some of those really good friendships last today, now several years later. But what it did for me is, when I was around 11th grade, I decided I wanted to be a police officer. And the reason why I wanted to be a police officer is because I've always been an outgoing, social type person, but I knew that I could have an impact by helping others. And it really made me think back to when I was a kid growing up in Amber Meadows and the city of Frederick Park system, and the opportunities that I had to really engage with other kids my age and look for ways of doing positive things instead of negative things. And so I wanted to give back that way. And, I probably did the knuckleheaded things that kids do when they're teenagers. But once I got focused on what I wanted to do for a career, I really set off on that path. I went to community college here in Frederick, at Frederick Community College. I got an associate's degree in criminal justice. And then I went to the University of North Carolina at Wilmington, in Wilmington, North Carolina, and completed my last 2 years. And I was an intern with the Wilmington Police Department during my senior year. And the chief of police at the time had offered me a position as a police candidate to be able to go through and get trained and then get hired on by the Wilmington Police Department. So the system's a little bit different in North Carolina. They actually, you get trained and then you get hired on by a police department. And I had an opportunity to stay down in Wilmington. And I loved it there. It was the beach. I'm a young kid who wouldn't love that. But I really wanted to serve the community that raised me, where I grew up. So I packed up everything that I owned at that time. At 22, it wasn't a whole lot, fortunately. And I packed it all up in my car the very day that I graduated. And I drove 7-8 hours back up to Frederick. And I tested for the Frederick Police Department the Sunday after I graduated from college. And I did not apply for any other police department, solely the Frederick Police Department, because I wanted to work municipal policing. It's where I grew up. And when I was an intern in Wilmington Police Department, it reminded me a lot of Frederick. It was an urban environment where the policing was very diverse. It wasn't, something like a state police where they do a lot of traffic enforcement and handle accidents. Certainly you do a lot of that in the city, but then you also had the other side of it where you're engaging in the community and you're doing those types of things, giving back the things that really enjoyed me. And then, working a very diverse set of skills that I learned through my schooling and then being an intern. So I applied for the Frederick Police Department. I didn't know if I was going to get the job. I could have applied for the sheriff's office as well and the state police and any other agency around the state of Maryland. But I wanted to be a Frederick police officer. So everything I did was to focus on that endeavor. And they took a chance on a 22-year-old kid with very little life experience, fresh out of college. And I have never forgotten that. Barb Domer, she's a retired lieutenant from the Frederick Police Department. Every time I had an anniversary come up, I would send her an email or a note. And I would thank her for giving me the opportunity because she worked human resources at the time. And she was part of the hiring process. And I kept my letter that I received from then Mayor Jim Grimes. That was my acceptance letter to the police academy. I still have it framed. And the first dollar I ever made from the city of Frederick, I kept all of that because that's how proud I was of being given an opportunity. And that's what it was. They gave me a chance and I wanted to make the most of that opportunity. So as I came up through the police department, everything that I did was to give back to the community.
Well, Jason, that's a wonderful story and very inspirational. And I'm sure if young people will listen to this podcast, maybe they'll be inspired and choose law enforcement at the municipal level as a choice for their career. And, I was just listening to you and I was thinking back to 1994, my own experience. In 1990, I don't know if you know this, but I was also interested in law enforcement. I wanted to be a state trooper down in Virginia. That's where I grew up. And at the time, those guys weren't making but about $18,000 a year. And so I looked at that as I said, wow, that would be, big issue for me, coming out. And, I was thinking about getting married at the time. So just was not a good fit for me. But I think about that choice, just about every day that I live, because that was something that I was very passionate about. And you got the opportunity to choose something that you were very passionate about and you served the community well. And I thank you for that.
Stay up to date with the podcast, the campaign, and more by following us on social media at Roger for Mayor. That is at @ROGERFOR MAYOR.
I'm just curious, you know, what are the, you know, you look at the news and it's always something going on around law enforcement every day, either a police shooting or something happening. You know, you talk about the protests with Black Lives Matter. You know, what are the challenges around the nation with law enforcement? And, you know, talk about that and what can we do differently? You know, what does community policing 2.0 look like in the future?
Yeah, well, you know, as somebody who dedicated my entire adult life to public service, and I still do today, I'm a Maryland parole commissioner. I was appointed by the governor to the parole commission in 2018. And so I'm seeing the other side of what happens with crime. As a parole commissioner, I see people who are incarcerated for life sentences, who have committed murders and rapes and the worst crimes that you can imagine. And a lot of times it's too late at that point because these people have wasted their lives and taken other lives. So for me, it's really disappointing to see where we are as a country when it comes to how we view law enforcement. Some of it's self-inflicted. There's incidents that have happened all over this country, and it's a bad stain on everybody who wears the badge. So the biggest challenge right now is community support, as I see it. Now, Frederick, I view as different. And the vast majority of communities around the country enjoy great community support. And then there's larger, usually larger urban areas that have more struggles in the area of community support. But it doesn't matter. Community safety is a priority. And when people don't feel safe, you know, then you're going to have issues. And you really have to have public support because the police can't do it themselves. I think the police agencies that are failing are the police agencies that think that they're the sole responsible party for ensuring that there is justice for everyone and that they're going to make sure that, you know, things are good in their communities. And it takes every single member of a community. And that's why I think Frederick does well. But the challenges that happen nationwide, they affect the city of Frederick and every community that has a law enforcement agency. And the reason is public safety is the most fragile thing there is. Once you lose public trust, it's very difficult to get back. So I think for Frederick, the challenge is to get as many people involved, and you really have to be invested in the community and understand that everybody plays a role in public safety. So what do I mean by that? Well, everybody's a stakeholder. If you're a resident, you're a stakeholder. You're a resident, you want to have a safe community, and you want the police to be doing the right things. And you want community members to be doing the right thing. We're all in it together. And I think where the problem is I think when we had the nationwide issues that popped up over the last few years, is I think community sentiment turned on police in general. And they identified issues that are happening, and they're genuine issues happening within law enforcement. But instead of taking an inward look and saying, well, what am I doing in my community to make that change? I think people just became vocal to that, and it became a barrage on law enforcement. Police are not the enemy. They're just one aspect of the community. They need everybody's support and help to make it work. And a community's job is also to hold its police department accountable, and the police departments have to recognize that. So I think together, collaboratively, Frederick does well, but there's still challenges there. So what are some of those solutions that we can do? Well, first and foremost, community engagement is great, but community engagement is only one piece as well, because that only goes so far. As a police department, you can engage the community all you want, but if the community's not accepting of that engagement, if they're not trusting of what the police are putting out there, it's not going to work. So you really need to genuinely engage the public and make everybody who is a stakeholder in Frederick understand that they all share a responsibility. So if you're a citizen, besides for being on Facebook and commenting about things that you're seeing, what are you doing to volunteer in your community? Are you giving back? And if you're recognizing problems, things that bother you, are you not just being vocal about them, but trying to come up with solutions? all of our citizens, their input is so important. So a police department has to recognize that they don't have all the answers. That's the furthest thing from the truth. A good police department is going to reach out to their citizens and their business owners, their stakeholders I'm talking about, and make sure that they're getting input so that they can make corrections or changes or additions to things that they're doing that serve the entire community and that are not self-serving or things that a police department is doing to just check boxes because it's the right thing to do. You have to make sure that you're having an impact. And the only way to have an impact is to have all your stakeholders at the table. So what does that look like? Well, you need to first bring people together. I have this thing, and I learned it under Chief Dine. Chief Dine, when he came to the city of Frederick, we had a lot of issues. The issues that we had in the 90s, policing in Frederick, from when I started in the mid-90s to late 90s, I was a young officer. I mean, that's what I knew. I was trained to do a job, and I did my job very well. I didn't know any different. That's just what we did. Until Chief Dine got there, and I realized the community engagement aspect of policing. We had always done community policing. That's been a buzzword for years and years in law enforcement. But Chief Dine really took it to heart. And he got every single police officer on board and really changed the culture of the police department. But what he did was he brought people together in the community. And the way you do that is through education, outreach, prevention, and the last step is enforcement. So those are four key pillars of police work: education, outreach, prevention, and enforcement. And I purposely put enforcement at the end. Enforcement, we're law enforcement officers, right? That's a very important aspect of policing. And when you have crime spikes that happen, you need to make sure that you're out there proactively and you're enforcing laws and you're making sure there's a deterrent there. But a police agency that really takes to heart community education, community outreach, and crime prevention, if you do all those things really well, enforcement is truly the last key, because those enforcement efforts are reserved for the small percentage of your city that is not getting with the program that needs to understand that there's consequences for your actions.
Jason, you know, you made a good point there about education. Could you elaborate on that? I think that's very important in with respect to law enforcement and community engagement. What are your thoughts on education?
There are so many examples of community education. So some of the things that the police department has done and continues to do, it could be something as simple as creating programs or flyers that they send out for different things that they want the community to know. Education is our Citizen Police Academy. Anybody who's had the opportunity to go through the Frederick Police Department Citizen Police Academy, they have them all over the country. The Frederick Police Department does it really well. It's based just like our regular police academy, but it's designed for citizens or business owners, people who have an interest in the city of Frederick. And it's a 10-week course, and it's held at our training facility, and it's one night a week. And people go in there, and we run it like a mini police academy. We educate the public on what we do as a police department. I was assigned down to our training academy for 4 years in the very beginning of the early 2000s. And I did 8 sessions of the Citizen Police Academy that I taught. And just the engagement that you have with different citizens who would always say, I had no idea this is why the police department would do it. Questions answered as simple as, well, I drive by a traffic stop and I see 2 police officers there and there's a little old lady there. Why do they need 2 police officers there? Don't they have anything better to do? So we answer those questions. And I tell them, frankly, sometimes the answer is, no, you're right. We don't have anything better to do. It might be quiet right then and there. And a police officer is always going to stop by and they're going to give a thumbs up and make sure that their fellow officer is all right on a traffic stop, or they're just going to stop by and they're going to walk up to the car and they're going to check in. It could be something as simple as that, or it could be something more nefarious. There could be an issue going on. Maybe they're waiting for a warrant check to come back and they want to make sure that this person isn't wanted for a serious crime. There's a lot of different reasons, but that's just one example. But the education piece, Citizen Police Academy is a great way. And it wasn't just for police supporters. When we were recruiting for the Citizen Police Academy, we didn't go out and find all the people that were waving the flag for the Frederick Police Department who gave us great support and who loved police. We were looking for the people who were the most vocal. We had people, and at the time that I was running, it was right after Chief Dine had come on, and where we had issues in the 1990s. And there were a lot of people that despised the police and didn't trust the police. And it was a great way to engage those people and have them come in. And we did it for elected officials too. Because if you're going to be an alderman or you're going to be the mayor of Frederick, what better way to learn about one of your major departments in the city than to put yourself through this Citizen Police Academy? But that's just one example of education piece. Here's an education piece. How about going out to our kids and engaging our kids in schools? School resource officers right now, I mean, they're getting a lot of criticism. Do we really need police officers in school? And for me, for the life of me, I can't understand why people would not want the police in the schools. And I think it's really just misinformation. And that's why education is so important. I think parents really need to ask questions and understand, okay, well, when my kid comes home from school, when he says that there's a police officer in the classroom, you know, what are they doing? I mean, are the police walking down the halls looking to arrest kids? No, they're looking to engage kids. They're teaching classes. They're doing things. So for me, I told you the story. I grew up in the city of Frederick. When I would see a police officer, I was excited. It was, you know, that was our neighborhood police officer who would come by and, you know, engage with the kids, maybe shoot a couple hoops with us at Amber Meadows Park. I mean, those are the types of police officers that really are making a difference, because they're getting into the schools. They're getting into kids just out on the street, stopping by. When I used to patrol, I would get out of the car and purposely go out of my way to just engage children, because I know there's a lot of fear involved when you see that uniform, when you see that badge, and especially for kids growing up in areas that don't have the same opportunities or where there's more crime, because most of the time these kids are seeing bad things happen. So when they see police officers come in there, it could trigger them thinking, well, the last time the police came in, they arrested, you know, maybe one of my family members or one of my friend's family members, something negative. And just like adults, you know, most people, their interaction with the police, it comes from maybe a traffic stop where they were speeding. It's not usually a positive interaction when they first meet a police officer, because candidly, the police aren't able to engage everyone. And secondly, people don't go out of their way to really get to know police either. And that's why I said it's a two-way street. We really need to engage everyone, and our citizens need to take responsibility as well and be a part of the solution by what can they do better? What can they do to educate themselves? Even, you know, even if you don't have the time to volunteer, everybody can learn more about what the police department do. And it's a great way to hold the police accountable, because when you know exactly what the police responsibilities are and you see them falling short of what those responsibilities are, or frankly, the promises that we make as police to our community, when we fall short, we should have people call us out and tell us, hey, that's not what you signed up for, or that's not what our expectation is as a community. But the only way that's going to work is if people truly understand what the police do. And I think a lot of the challenges are misconceptions. People can see something on a TV set and see bad things happening. And as I said before, bad things happen. Police have done bad things in a lot of different communities. But let's not pile on to police officers who are out there doing the job every single day, trying to do the right things. Instead, let's work together so that we don't have those issues. And I think Frederick does a good job with that, but we can certainly do better through that engagement piece.
Well, Jason, you, I love what you just said about education. And also something else you kind of touched on was relationships matter. And they start at an early age. And the better the relationship, the better the community, in my opinion. And, you know, you talked about, you know, Frederick, you know, being that special place. So what does Frederick look like 20 years from now?
Well, as you know, it's continually growing. It's funny. I always tell people, I did a speech in the past where I talked about when I started in the police department, we had maybe 40,000 residents in the city of Frederick. Now we're in the mid 70,000s, I would say, in residents. 20 years from now, we could be a major metropolitan area where we have 100,000 residents in the city of Frederick. And to some, that can be scary to some, because I mean, I'm sure you hear from a lot of people, they want to keep Frederick, that small town charm, which has made Frederick so great. But at the same time, look at the opportunities of growing to the point where you're 100,000 population community. I mean, the entertainment, the business opportunities. I mean, we're a mecca for biotech industries. A lot of big industries want to come to Frederick, and we have 270. I travel 70 every day now as a parole commissioner. Let's keep those people in the city of Frederick, right? Why send them down the road to DC, to Baltimore, to Montgomery County, when we have such a great place here in Frederick where we're expanding our workforce here locally? And when you do that, everything else comes with it, because you're increasing that tax base. So now arts and entertainment and culture, and Frederick's already hitting a home run in a lot of those areas. But imagine what it could be 20 years from now when you have a larger community, a more diverse community, all engaged in this population center, where this is the place where everybody wants to be. They don't want to travel down the road. They don't want to be in Montgomery County. They don't want to be in Baltimore and DC. Nothing against those areas, but we have a gem here. So let's make the most of it and really attract people to our area.
Well, thank you, Jason. And, you know, I participated in a number of ride alongs with the city police. And I tell you, I think that, in my opinion, that the Frederick Police Department is the finest law enforcement agency in the region, if not in the nation. And I really respect and glad that people sign up to serve their community and protect us every night. And so thank you, Jason. Thank you for coming on and sharing your thoughts about law enforcement. And thank you for your service. You're still serving, and we appreciate it. You take good care and enjoy the rest of your day. I would like to thank the audience for listening in again. And until we meet again, let's get to work.
Thank you, Roger.
You bet.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends and neighbors. And if you'd like to learn more about Roger's campaign for mayor of the city of Frederick, please visit our website at rogerforfrederick.com, where you can volunteer, donate to the campaign, get yourself a fine-looking yard sign, and more. That's it for this episode. We'll see you next time. Until then, let's get to work.